today for, well, first of all, it's Confirmation Sunday. And what's the word in confirmation? What's that word? Confirm. And confirm, what they're confirming is they're confirming something that their parents said at their baptism. Lutherans baptize infants. So really, the confirmation service and the baptism service are almost identical. It's just that parents speak on their behalf when they're infants, and then they confirm that. They say yes to God's presence in their life at this time. But it's also Reformation Sunday. Last Sunday of the of October is always Reformation. And what's the word in Reformation? Reform. It's, you know what? It's almost like July 4th for Protestants. Just as July 4th is independence from the British Empire for those of us who are Americans, there's a sense that the Reformation is a freedom from the Roman Catholic Church. Didn't start out that way. Martin Luther, as a priest, did not want to schism the church or cause a split. But unfortunately, that's what happened. And he was more interested in reforming the church as a Roman Catholic himself and a priest. He would have rather reformed the church. But Martin Luther got fed up. There were some things he just could not pass on to the next generation. And he drew the line. One of them was the indulgences, meaning that the church was selling these slips of paper. If you give the church so much money, they're going to say special prayers and they're going to spring your loved ones who's passed away from purgatory. If you're worried of them being in purgatory, the church is going to say some prayers and they're going to spring them from purgatory into heaven. The saying, anyone know the Reformation saying? A guy by the name of Tetzel was famous for selling indulgences. And the saying is, a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs, was the concept. Martin Luther had it with that, and he said, you know what? This is not my understanding of God. He also didn't want to pass on the power of the Pope, an unbridled power of the Pope, one individual. He didn't want to pass on the fact that nuns and priests, they should be able to get married. And he married a nun himself as a priest. He also wanted to make sure he passed on putting the Word of God, the Bible, into the language of the people. Let's translate the Bible from Latin to German. And hopefully that as they, people, would read the Bible, it would transform them as it transformed him. He also did that with worship, taking a lot of the beer hall songs that people knew, and just putting religious words to them. But he also wasn't going to pass on a scary concept of God that he inherited, a God that judged us by works. Instead, Martin Luther said, you know what the essence of life is? The essence of God is grace, unconditional love for all people. Grace, it's something that all we have to do is accept it. We don't have to work for it. We don't even have to believe the right stuff. It's grace, not works. It can be tough to stand up for your own for your convictions. Jesus did the same thing. He did, you know, he wanted to reform his tradition just as Martin Luther was a reformer. Jesus, in many ways, was a reformer too. He was stood up against the fact that it's not what we eat that makes us holy. What makes us holy is what comes out of our hearts and the actions and the words that we say. He also said, you know what, bloodline. He wanted to reform bloodline. This idea, just because you're born a Jew, makes you a child of God. He understood, you know what, God can raise up from these stones, he says, children of God. Because it is not our bloodline that makes us children of God. We're all children of God. Jesus also proclaimed this kingdom of God, that welcomed all people, women, children, lepers, into a kingdom of God here on earth. Not just the religious people, but welcomed all. And the other thing that he did was he told his disciples, go out into the countryside, into the field, in the city, and forgive. Take the church out to the people. Take the temple out to the people. Don't expect them to come here to us, but instead go out to them. It's a revolutionary idea that got him killed. Jesus ultimately came not to change the mind of God about humanity, but came to change humanity's mind about God. Convictions of the heart are powerful testimonies that need to get passed on to future generations. Sometimes we want to pass over some dysfunctional, unhealthy things, but we want to make sure we pass on the best of our traditions. How many, do you know what hospice is? Hospice is, it's really like end-of-life care. And yesterday I went to the hospice. We have a member here who it might be weeks, it might be months that she has to live. And I consider hospice a sacred place, a special place. Because you know what? If you're a few maybe days from dying and yet you're still thinking and you're talking to people and you're telling them what's important to your life, and that's one of the questions I ask them. I say, you know, if you look back on your life, what is like really significant or important to you? You know what they say? Almost 95% of the time. You know what they say? What do you think people say when you ask that question, when you look back on your life? Relationships. Number one, that's the first thing out. She said, I'm so proud of the relationships. Simple. Jesus, we said, came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And I think relationships are the key to that. First, the relationship with God. And Jesus made it sure that you had a good, healthy relationship with yourself. And then a relationship with others. And it's the others that takes a lot of work. They all take work. But relationship with others takes work. It takes patience. It takes endurance. It takes time. It takes misunderstanding and miscommunication. But you know what? You stick with it. Because the abundant life is important relationships in our life. And that's one of the things that I want to pass on. To say, you know what? I hope Jesus inspired in you the importance of a relationship with God, a healthy relationship with yourself, and a healthy relationship with others. But unfortunately, yesterday we also heard about this tragedy of killing of 11 people at this point in a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh. And, you know, one of the things when we see these terrible tragedies happen, there are some generalizations about the people who commit these things. And one of them is they tend not to have those important and vital, meaningful relationships in their life. And they most likely don't have a community of faith that teaches love and grace and forgiveness and a welcome to all and a respect for other faith traditions outside of what we are as Christians. That type of relationship and that type of community is vitally, vitally important. Jesus came to change the minds of people. And the one that I understand, the God I understand through Jesus is this God of love, a God of grace, a God of compassion, a God of forgiveness. Jesus witnessed to that in his life. And I believe Jesus would say God hates no one. What God hates is the actions of people who incite violence against someone else because of the color of their skin, because of their faith tradition. God hates injustice in the sense that some people can have huge amounts of wealth while other people starve in the world. I think God hates those type of actions too. It's not people. God loves all people. It's the actions that God hates. So I hope that Jesus continues to change the minds of people through us. That's our calling. And now through you too. Well, not only now, but now in a special way as you confirm your faith tradition. I hope you know what? You represent God. You represent God. You represent God. And our world needs that. Our world desperately needs that. People who will stand up for their convictions that people might see God through you. So that's the journey you more consciously and more actively participate in from this day forward. at the conclusion of our baptism service, we generally, so when you were baptized,